Christ, and I'm going to try to move along a little faster than usual today so that you can get more of it, get more of the scriptures. I want you to mark your scriptures down and look them up when you get home. Amen. Are we ready? Okay. excuse me. Now, you know, John the Baptist spoke of the bridegroom. He said in John chapter 3, 28 through 30, he said, "You yourselves can testify that I said, I am not the Christ, but I am sent ahead of him. The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine and is now complete. He, Jesus, must become greater and I must become less." You see, one of the problems that we have in the church today, we have preachers that want to become big personalities, rich. They want to sit on thrones like kings and queens with the money that comes into their ministry, wear designer shoes, designer clothes that cost thousands and thousands of dollars, great big expensive cars, and their minds just roll around and around about how can I build a bigger church? How can I get more? You see, the spirit of greed can never be satisfied. We all know that. Now, some of us have had money in our life, and when you become a Christian, like my sister, Miss Williams there, she's a lovely saint of God. Her husband left her financially so that she would not have to worry and work. But she still has Jesus at the forefront of her life. That has not deterred her goal of walking into heaven when Jesus calls her. It's great to have things. And God promises us stuff. And we all want stuff. But if you take stuff and you put it before Jesus, then that becomes worship of the spirit of mammon, and it becomes a spirit of greed. And, you know, my Bible tells me that we're supposed to work our salvation out in fear and trembling. And this is the hour of time that we need to ask God to open up our ears so that we can hear the word. Open up our hearts for understanding and commitment to the word. Open up our spirit so that we, as his people, will be excited when we hear the word of God preached. It's not being preached everywhere in this hour. The Bible says there'll be a great falling away just before the Lord returns. Now, I believe that we're in that season of time that he's returning, and I believe that's why we are preaching the bride of Christ. He wants you to know. He wants you to yearn for him. You know, before you got married, remember how excited you were about your husband-to-be. Remember how you couldn't hardly stand time until he called you. And then that call made your day. You see, the word of God has to be like that to you. It has to make your day. It has to make you hungry for more of Jesus. More and more of Jesus. Because you see, as you're yearning for the bridegroom to return, he's yearning to come back. He can't come back until the Father tells him it's time. He can't come back until every jot and tittle of the Word of God is fulfilled for the church. And so Now we're living in this hour of time where there's so many signs and wonders that tell me that perilous times are upon us and he's coming back. But he's going to take care of you. If you're a true Christian, I mean, all heck can break out. But you'll be right in the midst of it. And his shield of protection will be over you because he desires you as much as you desire him. Amen. And so what John was saying here, John the Baptist, you know, he had great crowds of people following him. And he came as a forerunner to the introduction of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And he came to call the nation to repentance. Because without repentance, there is no remission of sin. That's the word of God. And so multitudes came out by the river and listened to Brother John speak. And then they would come, repent, and be baptized into the kingdom of God. And the Bible shows that he was very serious about this work. John was not interested in the worldly goods. He wasn't interested in living in mansions. He wasn't interested in having the healthiest donkey in the world. What he was interested in was turning his nation to God because the Messiah was on the scene. Well, you see, that's where we have to get. We have to get interested in souls and turning them to Christ. You know, there's a, I won't mention the name, but there was a big bishop, has a big ministry on television just this last week. And he told the people this. It was shocking. He said, I guess you've noticed that we're not speaking about Jesus Christ. And he said, you know, he said, we're not speaking about the cross. He said, because we, he said, that's negative. And he said, Jesus has already done everything for you. And we don't want our people concerned about the devil and doing warfare against the devil, because Jesus already defeated him. Well, you know, first place, that's a twisted gospel, isn't it? Because you see, if you don't know what the real gospel says, that we're to turn the hearts of the people to Jesus, period, not things, not even how great they are, how big they can get, how much money they can have, their emotions all stirred up all the time. You know, I always refer to it as the I, me, you gospel. That means the preacher, you, and him, all the time preaching about that little thing. But you see, God wants people to understand that, yes, he'll bless you. Ask Pastor Williams. I must be prophesying. She's not a pastor, I'm sorry. But ask her. She's an intercessor. Ask her. Ask her. Yes, he blessed her, but she hasn't given up a thing. She's gained because Jesus, she knows that he's walking by her and with her every day of her life. You see what I mean, Barbara? Because it's important to know him by his Spirit. It's important to know that according to the Word of God, his eyes are going to and forth on the face of the earth looking over his people. And he told the Father in John 17, he said, you know, you gave me these people, and I haven't lost any except the son of perdition. And that was Judas, and Judas was an unbeliever. And then he turned and prayed for us. that he wouldn't lose any of us either. And I don't believe he's going to lose any of us. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And so you notice that this was an attendant of the bridegroom. That's what the Bible describes John. He was a preparer of the bride. He came to present the bridegroom to the bride. And so we see that his secret was shown in this passage. For him to be an effective minister, for him to be an overcoming minister, why, if he had gotten his eyes on his circumstances, a man eating locusts out in the desert, my God, it must have been miserably hot out there, but he was willing to pay the price for his spiritual job to turn his nation to Jesus Christ, right? And so what the Bible says was his secret is he, Jesus, must become greater and I must become less. See, you can enjoy Christianity to its height as you let Jesus rise up in your heart and you let him take dominion of your life and you let him begin to move you as he moved John. He moved John down by the river. Hallelujah. And here comes Jesus. And he gave John this spiritual eyes to see, the supernatural spiritual understanding to know, this is he that you've been preaching about. This is Jesus. And so you see, for a preacher to know who Jesus is and to be able to present Jesus to the masses and to the people, the preacher must decrease. God must increase. I remember many years ago, I used to live in Ponte Vedra Beach. And I got saved down there. It was pretty hard because there was hardly any Christians living in Ponte Vedra. I don't know if there are any there now, but there weren't then. And one of the ladies down the street got saved. Well, when she got saved, her husband left her. He said, I don't want Jesus around. I don't want him in my house. I don't want you talking about him. And he left her and divorced her. Well, she still had the house. He still sent her checks, and she could have lived there. She could still be living there. But you know what she did? She sold it all. She gave away a lot of it. And then what she couldn't give away, she sold. And she went to Malawi, Africa. From Ponte Vedra to Africa. And where she became a teacher to those little Africans that lived in huts, they had nothing to give to her, you know. And I told the Lord, I said, I thank you, Jesus, for letting me know a woman that is truly a woman of God. I mean, there's no way you could question it. She is truly a woman sold out for you, God. And, you know, she came in right after I did. I led her to the Lord. And she has spent her whole life out on the mission fields, gathering souls for his cause and then teaching them how to live for Jesus. And, you know, when we all stand before the throne of grace, who's going to have the biggest reward, really? Eternal rewards are coming. You're going to get crowns. You're going to get crowns with stones in them. You're going to have levels of rewards in heaven. Who's going to get the biggest reward are those that gave all for the cause of his people. I mean, standing right by her may be the biggest preacher in the world. Biggest television ministry in the world. Never had to lift a finger except to get up in behind a pulpit and use his mouth to preach about stuff. Who's going to get a reward? The biggest is not the amount of people that you gather to you, but the amount of people that he sends to you and that you feel responsible to preach the Word of God to them in purity instead of yourself, themselves, money and things and whatever else they're talking about today. You see, the bridegroom is getting ready to come back for his bride. And we're his bride. That's the Word of God. Amen? And so the church, and that's us, each and every one of you are a Michaelism of the church. Jesus lives inside of you. We come here together and meet. The building is a place for us to meet, but he lives in us. He tabernacles inside of us. That's a serious thing to carry around with you. Amen? And so Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:2, I'm jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. Remember, I told you in the marriage teaching that mothers will guard in foreign countries. I don't know if they still do it in America or not. But they would guard their daughter's virginity. And they would send people out to chaperone them, to take care of them, to look over them, to teach them, to protect them from bad people and bad men. And the reason for that, remember I told you that marriage and engagements are a covenant. And the engagement is a covenant. The marriage, whenever the husband and the wife come together the first time, they break the hymen of that virgin, and then a blood covenant takes place. Marriage is a blood covenant between two people. And so Paul was saying that I wanted to present you pure and holy as a virgin to your husband, because that's where they were headed, to the throne of Jesus, to the Last Supper. Amen? Now, at the end, we see that the bride is to be married to Jesus. And you will see that in Revelation 19, 6 through 8. The Bible says, I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. One of the seven angels said to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone like the glory of God. Now see, at the rapture of the church, the Bible teaches us that Jesus, hallelujah, has gone to prepare mansions for us. You know these scriptures. We don't have time to cite each one of them. But he's going, you've got a mansion. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, right? And it'll be better than any mansion that you can even imagine on this earth, because Jesus is a carpenter. He knows how to build. And his mind is not limited to copy other people's work. He can build each of us an individual mansion. And I can hardly wait to see mine. But we see here that the holy city, the New Jerusalem, after we marry the bridegroom, he takes us to the last, you know, to the supper up in the New Jerusalem to present us to his Father as his wife. We become married to Jesus. Remember I told you in the Old Testament that they were married to Jehovah? The Jews are married to Jehovah. They're already his wife. In the New Testament, we are engaged, betrothed to Jesus Christ. And he's waiting for the harvest of his bride. And so we see from these scriptures that the bride made herself ready. In the spirit realms, we have to make ourselves ready to meet the bridegroom, just like brides have to make themselves ready for their bridegroom. And brides spend a lot of time getting ready for that man that God has brought to them. They just don't wake up in the morning, brace their teeth, comb their hair, and run out and get married. They plot, they plan, and they want it to be the most glorious day for the bridegroom, not themselves. They want the bridegroom to look upon them and say, "Wow, look at what I got. Look what God gave to me." Amen. They want it so special that they spend every second of the day planning for that day. That's the way God wants his church. He wants us planning for this day when we shall meet the Lord in the air, and he snatches us off of this earth and takes us to the Last Supper of the Lamb. You know, in the first teaching I mentioned to you that the bridegroom, when he comes in a Jewish marriage, he's going to marry his bride. He's gone and built the house for the bride, or for his wife to be, and then he and his friends that attend to him, they come with him with lights, with lanterns, and he surprises the bride suddenly in the garden. He snatches her up and takes her away. That's the way the rapture is going to happen. We're not going to be expecting it, except those that are watchful and waiting and excited. But it's going to happen because the Bible says he's going to come as a thief in the night. But when he takes the bride-to-be away to the Last Supper, that's the wedding supper of the Lamb. And we'll be at the wedding supper of the Lamb in the New Jerusalem when all hell is breaking out on this earth during the 7-year tribulation period, when the devil is finally going to get his way, control all of the minds of the people on the face of the earth except those that are called for that particular time by God Almighty, that will put his divine protection over them to bring souls to him even during the tribulation. Shows people getting saved. Tribulation time shows angels flying in the air preaching the gospel. Do you know that? Why do angels have to fly in the air to preach the gospel? Because we'll be gone. Hallelujah. Amen. I get excited when I talk about these things. So there she is, according to 19:6-8, and she's dressed in fine linen. And the Bible says, for the righteous acts of the saints. So we get our fine white linen garments because we're righteous. And Jesus Christ gives us those righteous garments. Now, to be able to get a righteous garment, you've got to want to be righteous. You've got to want to do it His way, not your way. You have to begin to trample on your own flesh to overcome the things of the flesh so that you can have your white garments too, you see. And you can let the devil push you this way and that way and think, well, you know, this isn't going to send me to hell. Some things will keep you from going in the rapture. And I'll tell you the main thing that will keep you from going into the rapture, doing things your way instead of God's way. Walking around in sin. When you know it's wrong, throw yourself on the arm of Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm weak. Help me to get up and overcome. If you have to fast, fast. If you have to pray more, pray more. If you have to read the Word of God more, read the Word of God more. But the main thing you have to do is say to the flesh, no. You're not going to control me. I'm going to control you. Amen? And so, therefore, the Bible shows us for the thought of both men and women as the bride of Christ. This is puzzling to a lot of people because the men are considered to be the bride of Christ too. Now, why did God do that? Because there's no sex in the spiritual realm. Sorry, guys. No sex in the spirit realm. The genders. There's no male angels and female angels. There can be spirits that portray these things as male and female, but Jesus said there's no sex in the spirit. And so they don't, they're not able to create human beings. And so God made us both male and female. And this distinction is only important for our earthly life. That's what the Bible says. And so, but as far as our relationship to Jesus Christ, our position of being in Christ, there's no relevance to Him as male and female. He is the bridegroom. And so you see Galatians 3:26-28, he says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. That means women too. And it says, for you who were baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek nor slave or free nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And so, you notice there in verse 26, women are called sons of God, right alongside the men. Men are called brides of Christ, and we're called sons of God. You know what this means to me? This means to me that we need to, as Christians, begin to think in a spiritual way according to what the Lord and His Word says instead of trying to figure things out through our natural mind. And once you can have a spiritual mind, it's going to be easier for you. So the Bible shows that there will be a bride who will be perfect and presented to Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 and 27. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing of the water through the word, and to present her to Himself a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any blemish, but holy and blameless. And this is a profound mystery, But I'm talking about Jesus Christ and his church as shown over in Ephesians chapter 5. And so you see here that the church, you as the church, you're called to measure up to Jesus Christ. But you also see here that it's cleansing you through his word. That's what cleanses your mind. That's what renews your mind. That's what washes your spirit. That's what keeps you strong so that you can overcome in the flesh. That's what gives Jesus the tools to present you, hallelujah, without a spot or a wrinkle, but holy and blameless to his Father. Are you getting anything out of these teachings about the bride of Christ? You know, I don't hardly hear anybody talking about these things, the rapture and the bride of Christ. Some of them are saying, oh, well, you know, we are the kingdom of God, and we're going to prepare the world so that when we perfect the church and the world, then Jesus is going to return. That is not the word of God. It's a twisting of the word. There's no way that any person in the whole world or any group of peoples in the world can perfect the church and the world except our beloved Jesus Christ. So if you're hearing messages like that, get away from them, because it's just a lie. It's not the truth, you see. Romans 8:29 says, those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And I've just got two more scriptures, and I won't expound on them, but I want to read them. It was he, in Ephesians 4:11-13, that previous scripture was Romans 8:29. It says, it was he who gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then the next one, Ephesians 4:13, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So you see, the gospel and a preacher and a teacher is not supposed to be placed before you as Dear Abby. Remember that lady? And you write her about your little problems, and she would advise you on worldly, natural, earthly things. That's not what a pastor or a teacher is supposed to do, but yet we've got dear little Abbeys all over the United States preaching that away to people. You hardly ever hear them mention the name of Jesus. But you see a preacher, a real teacher, that is anointed by Jesus, is to teach you what does the Word of God say about you and Jesus. And as you begin to have a love and a respect for the Word, and you begin to learn about the Word, then Jesus can work in your spirit, in your spiritual heart, in your spiritual mind, and begin to teach you how you can be made in the fullness and stature of Jesus Christ. Now, if you're made in the fullness and stature of Jesus Christ, you'll be like that woman that sold all and went to Malawi. You will be like a person that is submitted to your Lord, and you will go like Barbara did wherever he sends me, that's where I'm going to go. Tells me to play music loud on my porch, that's what I'm going to do. Go on a vacation, go to a Bible study, start speaking to the women in that Bible study about abuse, to discover all the women in the room in tears because they had emotionally, sexually, and physically been abused, and she was able to minister to those ladies. You see, if you go and you're led by the Spirit of God, you'll be on the right pew. You'll do what he tells you to do. And let me tell you, you'll see him mending broken hearts right in front of your eyes. Plus, you'll make it in the rapture. You'll make it at the Last Supper. But most of all, you'll become the wife of the bride, and he'll present you to his Father. And then when he lets down the New Jerusalem, the Bible shows, he lets the New Jerusalem come down to the earth. Guess what? We'll be with him, and we'll be ruling and reigning with our husbands forever and ever. That's the Word of God. That's what I'm looking for. I don't care about getting this and that and another thing. I'm not going to weep over what happened to me 25 years ago before I got saved, or 30 or 40 years ago. Get over it. And the way you get over it is you let him minister to you through the Word of God, cleansing your minds with the Word, cleansing your heart with the Word, knowing, hallelujah, that was your earthly family that did that to you. That was the devil's people that did that to you. You now belong to the kingdom of the Almighty God. Amen.